My name is Taylor Lee. I live in Tacoma. I'm preparing to move to Regina, Saskatchewan, hopefully by the end of October. I've joined a mission called North America Indigenous Ministries. On Thursday this week, it was North America Indian Ministries. They've changed the name. A lot of the workers in that mission work in Canada, and the Indian is not used as much now, even in America. They quite often first Native American. In Canada, they like to be called First Nations or Native or even Indigenous or Aboriginal. Yeah, we don't use that term much in America. I have some information on a table over here. A lot of you I have not met. I was here 2 years ago, and I was just in the process of finalizing my association with NAME at that time, and that has been finalized. Last summer, I quit my job. I was working for the State of Washington Department of Corrections as a parole officer in Auburn, Washington. So I'm in the process of building my support team for prayer and funding, getting close to being able to move. On the table, I have my ministry vision, and if you didn't hear me last time or you're not on my mailing list and you're interested in what I'm doing, pick up one of those sheets that explains that, and I won't go over all that again. I want to tell a couple of stories. There's a missionary couple in Morristown, British Columbia. That's on the highway between Prince George and Prince Rupert. It's way up there. It's really central BC, but it seems like a long way north. I believe his name is Doug Anderson. I've not met him, but I met one of his disciples. Darren George is a native guy from Morristown, from the local band. I was recently in Saskatchewan for 2 months of specialized cross-cultural ministry training. There's 10 native ministries in North America, and every spring they put on 8 weeks of training. Tremendous time. Darren George was one of the instructors that came in for four or five days. He basically focuses on youth work. Darren told the story of Doug Anderson. Doug was ministering in that little reserve there, and he was discouraged. And he came with the idea. He began to pray and ask God for 5 native men for that congregation. At that time, it was mostly women, a bunch of children, and a few women. God gave him 5 native men. Darren George was one of those 5. Doug began to, he thought, well, if God would answer that prayer, what if I ask for 50 native believers in central British Columbia? Now, 50 in an area that big doesn't seem like much, but it really is in terms of mature believers. And then he thought, well, what if I could have enough faith for 50? What if I had enough faith for 500? And that was a pretty big order. And then the thought occurred to him, what could God give 5,000 native men in central British Columbia, that several hundred mile stretch from Prince George over to the ocean? He didn't think so. He didn't have enough faith for 5,000. But the next morning in his devotions, he was reading in the book of Acts where 5,000 were saved. And he took that as from the Lord, and he's praying for 5,000 native men. Now, the reason I tell that story is because God heard in the U.S. and Canada that between 3 and 5% of the Indian people are what we would call evangelical born-again people. So it's almost like an unchurched people group. Now, there's a lot of religious native people, and there's people that are involved in various religious organizations, but in terms of actually born again, it's a very slow, very low number. The prairies, where I plan to work, a lot of my work will be working with guys getting out of prison. In Saskatchewan, over 75% of the inmates are native people, First Nations. It's the highest province in Canada. All across Canada, it's much larger than in the U.S. My vision is long-term discipleship and training. There are between 90 and 100 reserves. They don't call them reservations. They're usually, there's a few in Alberta that are fairly large, but they don't have the huge reservations like we have in the western U.S. Reserves are typically quite small. There's between 90 and 100 reserves or Indian communities just in the province of Saskatchewan. I was asking my future field director, who lives in Cairnport, how many churches? And he thought, well, maybe 4 to 6 actual Bible-believing churches. Now, there's Catholic churches on some of those reserves where a priest will come through once a month. There's some Anglican churches. I said, are any... I said, are any of those Anglican priests believers? He says, okay, I'm going to raise that up to 10 to 15. His estimate is 10 to 15 functioning fellowships out of that 90 to 100 in the province of Saskatchewan. I know two missionaries in our organization. One worked on the Beardies Okemosis Reserve near Duck Lake, Saskatchewan for 17 years. There are some believers on that reserve. There's no church. Another man is working on the Kynaston Reserve east of Saskatoon. He's been there 17 years. I just talked to him at our staff conference last week. And I said, how's the church situation? He says, there is no church. He's working with youth. They're hoping to get a little fellowship going. The work is very slow and difficult. 80% of Native people live in cities. 20% live on the reserves or the reservations in America. 80% of the missionaries go to the reserves or the reservations. The city of Regina, I've been doing some demographic research. The 2001 census says there are 8,000 First Nations living in Regina. Walter Selke, who is the founding pastor of Healing Hearts Ministry in that city, the church that I will be involved with, believes there are 40,000. Even if there's not 40,000, maybe there's 30,000. It's very unrepresented, underreported in the census. They just don't report. But regardless, the needs are unbelievably big. God has given me a vision on how to reach that province. And I'm not going to go into it tonight, but I'd like to talk to you individually, or if I get a chance to meet with you in your home or church or small group later on, I'll be happy to share more of that vision. But it has to do with discipling men and sending them back to the reserves. Second story I want to tell is Tucker Gross lives in Black Diamond, Alberta, just south of Calgary. Tucker and his wife have been taking First Nations people and Native Americans to Central Asia, Muslim countries. Tucker became acquainted with a Okanagan or I think he's an Okanagan Indian near Vernon, British Columbia, named Nelson. Nelson's a rancher. Nelson raises horses and cattle and puts up hay. Tucker said, Nelson, would you go to Central Asia with me? He says, yeah. They were going to Kyrgyzstan. So he got his passport. And by the way, just for a Native person to go over to Central Asia is a big thing. They don't like to leave home. And that's one of the problems in terms of even thinking about the Great Commission. Nelson went with a group, a small group. They went over a 14,000-foot mountain pass into an isolated village. They were doing medical work. That was their excuse to be in the country. They met a young engineer who spoke some English who had moved back to the village to take care of his mother and their farm. This Kyrgyz Muslim put up hay and ran livestock. Tucker introduced him to Nelson, and they began to talk ranching. The medical team moved on. This man insisted that Nelson stay in his house, hosted him. He wasn't interested in the Americans, but he wanted to get to know. And I don't know how many days he was there. They had a tremendous time. Nelson's out there putting up hay with the guy and talking ranching and stuff like that. There is an instant rapport all over the world with different cultures with North American Native people. They've seen the movies. They've heard the stories. I believe God has prepared people all over the world to receive cross-culturally people from the reserves and reservations in North America. Second part of my vision, the guys I'm working with, as I work with them, my plan is to plant seeds of vision for the entire world from the very beginning. Not high-pressure stuff, but just to begin to plant the seeds. And as they catch the vision of spiritual warfare, and as their responsibility is serving the Lord Jesus, and being warriors for Christ, and the Native people, many of them have lost their culture. And a lot of the young, especially the guys in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, a lot of them have been raised in the city. They really don't know their traditions, but they want to learn those traditions, and there's a fascination with those traditions. A lot of the young Native people have gone really away from it totally. The gangs and all that stuff, the punk rock, the rap music, all that stuff is part of their life. But when they start to get a little more mature, quite often they'd want to rediscover those roots. And there's a tremendous amount of what I believe God has prepared within their cultures to appeal to that warrior spirit. For example, I was telling a couple of people here, I just picked up a book that's fresh off the press 2 weeks ago. It's called Mighty Warrior. And a lady in Calgary has written a book, and she's taken Ephesians 6, the armor of God, and she's taken, and she's, instead of using the Roman armor, she's using the Plains Cree war regalia. And I've only read one chapter, and I'm already excited. The breastplate of righteousness. You know the Plains Indian with the horizontal bones on the breastplate? It's designed to deflect arrows. Well, it is also a sign that you have attained warrior status. So a Plains Cree boy, he plays with the girls until he's 10 years old. After that, they do not play together anymore. At that point, they are now the protectors of the girls. But they're not to be alone with them unless they get married. So they protect them when they go out for water or firewood or things like that. They cannot get that breastplate until they have grown to a certain age and proven their worthiness by having a good heart. They have to be loyal to their friends. They have to be boys of honor. They have to respect and obey their parents. If they do not have a good heart, they do not have the right to wear that breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness. Anyhow, God's prepared these people. One of the major problems in Canada, even more so than America, is that Christianity is considered a hostile religion. There's a book over on the table called White Man's Gospel. Awful lot of Native people, even nominal Christians who don't, you know, they're identified with a church, but they're really not believers. They've been wounded badly through the decades because of the residential school experiences. Their culture, their family life was destroyed because the children were taken out of the schools, out of the homes, put in schools run by the major churches in Canada. A lot of resistance against Christianity. So, anyhow, I'm gonna stop there with those two stories. I have a couple of requests. If you're not going to go to Morocco to work with Jose Luis, and if you're interested in children, City of Regina has probably 15,000 to 20,000 Native children. And most of them live in about a 10 or 15 square block area, very concentrated, north central Regina. A lot of them will live in another neighborhood about a mile away. Healing Hearts Ministry has four pastors, elders. One of them is Spurgeon. I've met Spurgeon. I've met Hudson Taylor. I met Hudson Taylor III, Hudson Taylor's grandson at the Missions Conference in Vancouver. Spurgeon Root is a youth pastor at Healing Hearts Ministry, doing a great job. They have nobody working with the kids. The opportunities are wide open. Native families love people to come and work with their kids. And it's the way to the heart of the parents. So I'll throw that out since we're recruiting this weekend. I want to also mention that in those of you who have been getting my prayer letter know that I've been praying for a Native ministry partner for two reasons. One is because there are real serious barriers against Caucasian people from Native society. The time of trust building is very long. They'll watch and watch and watch, and at some point, if they determine you're a worthy person, then they're open to friendship. It doesn't come quick. It can take years. So if God would give me a Native guy to work with, those barriers are going to come down a lot quicker. And don't not even talking about race, we're demonstrating that God's church is not racial. Secondly, I believe in teamwork. I believe I may have that Native partner. One of the elders at the Healing Hearts Ministry is Nick Helliwell, Cree guy, solid in Scripture. He was one of the founding pastors of that church. Don't know him well. I spent a week in Regina in June. His vision is very, very similar to mine, long-term discipleship. So God may have already answered that prayer. I can't be presumptuous, but I'm hoping that's the case. He has an excellent reputation. If you're interested in more about just kind of the whole setting there, healinghearts.ca, they have a website. I invite you to pick up some literature. My original ministry vision statement is there on the table. Don't forget to pick up some Voice of the Martyrs literature. Roy Gillette gave a great presentation this afternoon. I subscribe to that too. I'm going to be telling stories of Christian martyrs from around the world to the guys I'm working with. They think they have it bad, and they do, but they don't have as bad as what in those magazines. I have another request, and that would be to young people. like young adults that maybe you're still home with your parents, you haven't established your own household, maybe teens or even younger, I would encourage you, if God has spoken to you through, given you kind of a heart for what I'm doing, would you personally sign up? I don't mind the extra stamp. I want to send you my prayer letter directly also, and I'd like you to pray for me. Third request is, in a group this size, there are undoubtedly a few intercessors, people who really are serious in their prayer life, and if God has moved your heart toward what I'm doing also, and you would be willing to commit to pray for me one day a month, like a certain day of the month that you picked, you'd remember, please let me know that. And I will also commit to pray for you that day too. And so I'm going to try to get out like 4 newsletters a year. I hope, but those people who are on the intercessor, I'm going to, communicate every month. So those are my requests, and thanks for the time here.